this again.
Okay. Text. We finished 8 yesterday. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathura Puri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan because of Krishna's Rasalila pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Sri Radhakund stands supreme, for it is over flooded with the ambrosial nectarian prema of the Lord of Gokul, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radhakund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So, the purport clearly explains that the spiritual world, and also the verse explains this, that the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, is superior to the material world. Why? What is some reason?
Krishna
appeared
then.
In the spirit? No. Why? Krishna doesn't appear in the spiritual world. He's eternally existing. Well, it's better when you're not listening to make believe you're not sure of the answer. And don't say anything.
One complaint is that it's 3 times as big.
Yeah. Is it really? Is the spiritual world really 3 times as big? It is called Ekpad Vibhuti.
No, it's just
what?
To give an idea of the difference in between.
Yeah. The material world is so huge. It's so huge. We have only experience of such a little part of the material world. We look up at night in the winter or in the summer, long as the night is cloudless, and we see unlimited stars in the sky. And each one of those is a world of its own. And we're only seeing one small part of one universe. And these universes, the number of universes, are compared to the number of teeny mustard seeds in a huge bag of mustard seeds. Now, of course, there are a finite number of mustard seeds in a huge bag of mustard seeds, and there are a finite number of universes, but it's so many, practically uncountable many of universes, even though it's finite. And this uncountably, unlimitedly vast material world is just a part, an insignificant part. Vishtavyaham vidam kritsnam ekam sena amstito jagat. With just a tiny insignificant part of Krishna's energy, he is maintaining and supporting the entire material creation. So the spiritual world is unlimited, while the material world is limited, although vast. So how many limiteds can fit in unlimited? How many limiteds can fit in unlimited? Unlimited limiteds can fit in unlimited. So actually the spiritual world is unlimited, and the material world is limited. But for that reason, if no other, it's superior. But Krishna eternally exists there also. Of course, Krishna is all-pervading and eternally exists everywhere, but he's manifest and everyone can see him. In the spiritual world, he's worshipped in the Vaikuntha planets with great awe and reverence, and he's the Lord of Vaikuntha. So superior, and everything is eternal, everything is composed of Krishna's Sarup Shakti, his internal energy, his chit potency. So everything, there's no misery there. There is no time there. There's no birth, death, old age, and disease. Everyone is happy. And everyone is relating with Krishna in his Narayan form. So the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha planets, is superior for those reasons to the material, is the realm of Mathura. And Mathura is superior because the pastimes and the intimacy that one can relate to the Lord in is far greater than the intimacy and the depth, therefore the depth of affection that one can have with the Lord of Vaikuntha. So that when it's talking about Mathura, Mathurapuri, Marupuri, that means Mathura and it means Braja. Mathura and the adjoining areas. So though these appear to be in the material world, but actually they are not in the material world. These are transcendental dhams. So superior to Mathura is Vrindavan, in the forests of Vrindavan. Because all over the forests of Vrindavan, Krishna engaged in his Rasalila pastimes, very intimate pastimes with his devotees. And then superior to the different forests of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill. And Govardhan Hill is so merciful. And Govardhan Hill was so fortunate. It was lifted with the little finger of Krishna's left hand, showing how easily Krishna can protect his devotees with no effort at all, with just the little finger of his left hand. When Indra showered down torrents of rain, Krishna protected the residents of Vrindavan and the cows and all the other animals and all the possessions of the residents of Vrindavan by lifting Govardhan Hill. Now, Govardhan Hill is also so wonderful and so intimate because there were so many pastimes that went on there between Radha and Krishna, and also because Krishna appreciated Govardhan Hill's offering to his cows. Because Krishna is so fond of his cows, he spent all of his boyhood days just herding the cows and making sure they were protected and happy. And Govardhan offered Krishna such nice, soft, green grasses, rather the cows, Krishna's cows, the nice grasses. And sometimes Radha and Krishna, or Krishna would hide in, or rather Radha, Srimati Radharani would hide from Krishna in the caves of Govardhan, and Krishna somehow would find them. And Krishna would, when Krishna would find Srimati Radharani in the cave, through the Rupa Manjari, would stutteringly tell Srimati Radharani, "I didn't tell him where you were hiding. It must have been Chitra. Chitra Lekha must have told. I didn't tell." When Radharani would question, and so many intimate pastimes took place on Govardhan in the different. In the rasa of Sakaras and Krishna's tending the cows and the Shringara, Madhurya Ras, with Krishna dealing with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. So this was a very, very intimate place. But the most intimate place was Radhakund. Now Govardhan Hill is shaped as a peacock. And the tail of the peacock is not the Radhakund side, but the other side. I can't remember the name. It starts with a P, Punkari or something like that. It sounds like that. But the other end, by Lota Baba and by Apsara Kund. After Govinda Kund. This is like the tail of the peacock. And Radhakund and Shyamakund are the eyes of the peacock. And these, Radhakund and Shyamakund, are the places of most intimate pastimes between Srimati Radharani and Shyamasunda, Krishna. And the Radhakund is very, very, very hard to obtain, even by great devotees. This is explained explained later. And Lord Chaitanya himself discovered Radhakund and Shyamakund. He rediscovered them. Because, as the purport explains, that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first visited the area of Brajabhumi, he could not at first find the location of Radhakund. This means that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually searching for the exact location of Radhakund. Finally, he found the holy spot, and there was a small pond there. He took his bath in that small pond. No one could understand why the sadhu was taking his bath in the middle of the paddy fields, the rice fields. But he was in ecstasy. Later, the pond was excavated by Lord Chaitanya's devotees, headed first by the six Goswamis, such as Rupa and Raghunath Das. presently there is a large lake known as Radhakund. Srila Rupa Goswami has given much stress to Radhakund because of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire to find it. Who then would give up Radhakund and try to reside elsewhere? No person with transcendental intelligence would do so. So then Prabhupada explains that it's very hard, very difficult, even for the other Vaishnava Sampradayas, to understand the importance of Radhakund. But the followers of Rupa and Raghunath understand this. Radhakund is the most amazing place, the most elevated place. The waters of Radhakund are actually Srimati Radharani. They are no different from Srimati Radharani. And as we'll read in the last verse, that one who takes bath in Radhakund even once is guaranteed of pure love of Krishna. He will be fully aroused. I remember one time Danadhar Maharaj and myself, we went to Radhakund, we went to Govardhan, and then we went to Radhakund. And a few years ago, they were cleaning Radhakund, and they had drained all the water out. And in Radhakund, just the day we arrived, there was no water left in there. It took them a while to drain it out. And right in the center was the little pond that was the source of the water, and it was really muddy to get there. You had to wade through mud about this deep, and I just didn't feel like going in the water and wading through the mud to get there. And Danadhar Maharaj said he was going to do it. So he went there, and I saw him taking the water, putting it all over himself, and he came back in such ecstasy that I couldn't resist. So I also went through all the mud and poured it on me, and it was so amazing. Not that bathing in Radhakund isn't always amazing, but it was so amazing. It was like boarding a rocket ship or something, you know, just so wonderful. Because these waters are full of such transcendental potency. And all the Goswamis used to live, they lived at Radhakund. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he wrote Govinda Lilamrita and Chaitanya Charitamrita at Radhakund. Jiva Goswami had a Bhajana Kutir at Radhakund. Raghunath Das Goswami lived there for many, many years. He was ordered to live there by Rupa Goswami. That was his place. And his samadhi is there, and his bhajana kutir. Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, his bhajana kutir is there. Raghunath, I think Raghunath Bhatta, maybe also has a pushpa samadhi there. So it's such an amazing place. We'll read now about the advent of Radhakund. Now, it's connected with the pastime of the killing of Aristasura. So I'll read a little bit about that pastime, and then I'll explain about Radhakund and the purport. Sukadeva Goswami said, "The demon Arista then came to the cowherd village, appearing in the form of a bull with a large hump. He made the earth tremble as he tore it apart with his hoofs. Aristasura bellowed very harshly and pawed the ground. What shape was Aristasura in with a large hump in his back? Was he a camel?
Bull.
Yes, he was bull. Yes, he was ferocious bull.
Mad bull.
He was mad, yes, for attacking Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. How could any sane bull do this? That is why he is Asura. With his tail raised and his eyes glaring, he began to tear up the embankments with the tips of his horns, every now and then passing a little stool and urine. My dear king, clouds hovered about sharp-horned Aristasura's hump, mistaking it for a mountain. And when the cowherd men and ladies caught sight of the demon, they were struck with terror. Indeed, the strident reverberation of his roar so frightened the pregnant cows and women that they lost their fetuses and miscarried. The domestic animals fled the pastures in fear. O king, and all the inhabitants rushed to Lord Govinda for shelter, crying, Krishna, Krishna. When the Supreme Lord saw the cowherd community destroyed and fleeing in fear, he calmed them, saying, Don't be afraid. Then he called out to the bull demon as follows, You fool! What do you think you're doing, you wicked rascal? Frightening the coward community and their animals when I am here just to punish corrupt miscreants like you. Having spoken these words, the infallible Lord Hari slapped his arms with his palms, further angering Arista with the loud sound. Then the Lord casually threw his mighty serpentine arms over the shoulder of a friend and stood facing the demon. Thus provoked, Arista pawed the ground with one of his hooves, and then with the clouds hovering around his upraised tail, he furiously charged Krishna, pointing the tips of his horns straight ahead and glaring menacingly at Lord Krishna from the corners of his bloodshot eyes. Arista rushed towards him at full speed like a thunderbolt hurled by Indra. The Supreme Lord Krishna seized Arista Shura by the horns and threw him back 18 steps, just as an elephant might do when fighting a rival elephant. Thus repulsed by the Supreme Lord, the bull demon got up, and breathing hard and sweating all over his body, he again charged him in a mindless rage. As Arista attacked, Lord Krishna seized him by the horns and knocked him to the ground with his foot. The Lord then thrashed him as if he were a wet cloth, and finally he yanked out one of the demon's horns and struck him with it until he lay prostrate. Vomiting blood and profusely excreting stool and urine, kicking his legs and rolling his eyes about, Arista Shura thus went painfully to the abode of death. The demigods honored Lord Krishna by scattering flowers upon him. Having thus killed the bull demon, Arista, who was a festival for the gopis' eyes, entered the cowherd village of Vrindavan with Balaram. After Arista Shura had been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narada Muni went to speak to King Kamsa. That powerful sage of godly vision addressed the king as follows. Vishwanath Chakravarti, Thakur, explains as follows. From the Puranas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted 20 verses describing a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna that took place after Krishna had killed the demon Arista. This conversation, so kindly quoted by the Acharya, describes the origin of Radhakund and Shyamakund, Radha and Krishna's bathing ponds. The verses are as follows. The innocent young gopis said, "Oh Krishna, don't touch us now, O killer of a bull. Alas, even though Arista was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow, so you will have to undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing Vritrasura. But how can you purify yourself without going to the trouble of visiting every single holy place in the three worlds?" Krishna replied, "Why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe? I will at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here and take my bath in them. Just watch." With this, Lord Mukunda struck his heel on the ground. Then he said, "This is the water of the Bhagavati River, coming from the Patala region. And now, O holy places, all of you please come here." When the Supreme Lord had spoken these words, all the holy places went there and appeared before him. Krishna then addressed the gopis as follows, "See all the holy places." But the gopis replied, "We don't see them as you described." Then those best of holy places, joining their palms in supplication, spoke up, "I am the salt ocean. I am the ocean of milk. I am the Amara Dirghika. I am the river Shona. I am the Sindhu. I am the Tamrapani. I am the holy place Pushkar. I am the river Saraswati. And we are the Godavari, Yamuna, and Rava rivers, and the confluence of rivers of Prayag. Just see our waters." After purifying himself by bathing, Lord Hari became quite arrogant and said, "I have produced a pond containing all the various holy places, whereas you gopis must never have executed any religious duties on this earth for the pleasure of Lord Brahma." Then Srimati Radharani addressed her girlfriends as follows, "I must create an even more beautiful pond. So go to work Having heard these words, the gopis saw that Aristasura's hooves had dug a shallow ditch just west of Sri Krishna's pond. At that nearby spot, all the gopis began digging up lumps of soft mud with their hands, and in this way a divine pond manifested in the short span of an hour. Krishna was astonished to see the lake they produced. He said, "Go ahead, lotus-eyed one. You and your companion should fill this pond with waters from my pond." But Radha replied, "Oh, no, 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 this is impossible. Since the water of your pond is contaminated by your terrible sin of killing a cow, I will have my countless gopis companions bring the water of the Manasa Ganga here in a billion pots. In this way, I will fill this lake with my own water and thus make it renowned, unequal in the entire world." Lord Krishna then gestured to a heavenly personality who is an intimate associate of all the holy places. Suddenly that person rose out of Krishna's pond and bowed down to the daughter of Sri Vrishabhanu Radharani. Then with palms joined and tears pouring from his eyes, he began praying to her in devotion. "O goddess, even Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all the scriptures, cannot understand your glories. Nor can Lord Shiva, nor can Lakshmi. Only Krishna, the supreme goal of all human endeavor, can understand them. And thus he feels obliged to personally make sure that you can wash away your perspiration when you are fatigued. He is always anointing your lotus feet with nectarian charu and yavaka and decorating them with ankle bells. And he rejoices and feels most fortunate simply by satisfying the tips of the toes of your lotus feet. On his order, we have immediately come here to live in this most excellent pond, which he created by one stroke of his heel. But only if you now feel satisfied with us and bestow upon us your merciful glance will the tree of our desire bear fruit." Hearing this prayer spoken by the representative of the full assembly of holy places, Sri Radha was pleased and said, "So kindly tell me your desires." Then they told her plainly, "Our lives would be successful if we could come to your pond. That is the benediction that we desire." Glancing her beloved from the corners of her eyes, the daughter of Vrishabhanu replied with a smile, "Please come." Her gopi companions all agreed with her decision and became immersed in the ocean of happiness. Indeed, the beauty of all creatures, both mobile and stationary, was enhanced. Thus gaining the grace of Srimati Radharani, the holy rivers and lakes in Sri Krishna Kund forcibly broke through its boundary walls and swiftly filled Radhakund with their waters. Lord Hari then said, "My dear Radha, may this pond of yours become even more world-renowned than mine. I will always come here to bathe and enjoy my water pastimes. Indeed, this lake is as dear to me as you are." Radha replied, "I will come to bathe in your pond as well, even though you may kill hundreds of Arista demons here. In the future, anyone who has intense devotion for this lake, which is on the spot where you chastise Aristasura, and who bathes or resides here, is sure to become very dear to me." That night, Lord Krishna initiated a rasa dance at Radhakund, generating a torrent of the greatest mood of splendorous past pleasure. Sri Krishna resembled a cloud, and Srimati Radharani a brilliant flash of lightning filling the sky with abundant beauty. In this way, their divine glories permeated the expanses of the three worlds. As a final note, it should be mentioned that Narada Muni, being a great sage, understood that the killing of Arista more or less concluded the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Therefore, Narada, anxious to facilitate the transferal of Krishna's pastimes to Mathura, approached Kamsa and addressed him. So Radhakund is such an amazing place, and so famous and so glorious, but is especially meant for Krishna and the gopis. Krishna's cowherd boyfriends cannot even go to Radhakund, Shyamakund. But there are some of Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, the ones who act as messengers on Krishna's side to the gopis, they can go to Radhakund, Shyamakund, but they can only stay on the Shyamakund side. The Radhakund side is only for Krishna, the gopis and their maidservants. There's one little story how Radharani and Krishna were supposed to meet at Radhakund. So Srimati Radharani got there first. So Krishna was not yet there. He was on his way there and he was herding cows at Govardhan. But the difficulty arose that as Krishna was there, he wanted to actually get to Radhakund, but Chandravali and her girlfriends were talking to Krishna and inviting him, trying to invite him to go to some secret place in Govardhan. And knowing this, and knowing that Krishna had an appointment with Srimati Radharani, Maru Mangal came running over and said, "Krishna, I have an important message from your father. Kamsa has sent some demons and they're attacking and killing all the cows. You must come immediately," he says. So Krishna said, "Oh, Chandravali, I cannot go with you now. The bulls and cows are being attacked. They must leave immediately to protect them." So he left and then went to Radhakund to enjoy pastimes with Srimati Radharani. Many of the pastimes take place during the midday and also at night. And Radhakund, actually the real form of Radhakund is miles and miles wide, and there's different sections of it and each section has different colors. And when Radharani and Krishna, there's one section that's bluish like Krishna's, bluish black like Krishna's skin. And when Krishna and Srimati Radharani are sitting on a swing, because Krishna, it's the exact color of Krishna, so all one could see is the gold of Srimati Radharani. And another section that's gold like Srimati Radharani's skin. Srimati Radharani can't be seen sitting on the swing, only Krishna can. Why? Which is the topmost place? It is Radhakund. It is even higher than the material world, what to speak. And also Vaikuntha, and also Mathura, and also the forest of Vrindavan, and also even Govardhan.
Well, like in the next person, I believe in the next one, that even sages like Narada Muni can't attain it, Radhakund. But we can, for a couple of rupees, take a bus there whenever we want.
In the right consciousness.
What is the position of Shyama Kund?
What do you mean?
Well, we always talk about Radhakund, we go to Radhakund, and we...
That's the benediction that Krishna gave. Let's first answer what Arjuna said. So your question is, are we actually attaining Radhakund?
Yeah, it seems like not exactly as...
But it explains here what that means. Executing devotional service. Who then will not reside at Radhakund, and this is the next verse, and in a spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, aprakrita bhav, render loving service to the divine couple, Shishi Radhagovinda, who perform their astakaliya lila, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes. Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radhakund are the most fortunate people in the universe. So why can't Narada Muni attain Radhakund? Because he's in this form, he's in the wrong body. You can't attain him in the male body. One has to be, as we said, in, as Manjari, like that. So Narada Muni actually did attain that. And even Lord Shiva could not enter in the rasa dance. So therefore he had to take on the form as a gopi, and therefore Gopishwar, Shiva, near Vamsiva. And at night time, if you go to see Gopishwar Shiva, he's dressed as a gopi. And Shyamakund is not as prominent as Radhakund, because Krishna said, "Your kund will be even more famous than my kund." But when we go to Radhakund, we also go to Shyamakund.
Yeah, right next to Shyamakund. Yeah. You go there to take bath in Shyamakund?
Do I take bath in Shyamakund?
Do we?
Do you? Do you? When you go there, do you take bath in Shamukund too?
Mm.
Yeah?
First was Lila in Shamukund.
Yeah? I don't know. I bathe in both. Jiva does too.
How about Lalitakund?
Lalitakund. How about it?
Yes.
How about it? What do you mean, how about it?
Why is she came in, into being and what's her position?
Lalita Devi?
No, Lalita Kund.
Lalita Kund's Lalita Devi's Kund. Actually, there are all the Astasakis have Kunds around Radha Kund, Shyama Kund, but I think that's the only one that's manifest. I've never actually seen anyone bathing in there, Lalita Kund. But we heard the benediction Krishna said that she bathed in Shyama Kund too. We've got our own bathes in Shyamakun.
So, one is to be thought that we're physically taking bath in the Radhakund, and only very limited amount of the human beings on this planet are actually taking bath there.
Yeah. So it's fortune. Great, great, great fortune.
And there's no difference between the Radhakund as it is now and the Radhakund which is in miles and miles and miles.
Yeah, this is the real thing.
So, but we have male bodies.
Huh? Right, but we're not really completely attaining it. But this helps. It will help arouse our... This is explained here. This will be explained later. In the last verse, we'll save the questions for about bathing in Radhakund for the last verse. Anyone else have any other questions? We should know it's an exalted, exalted place. Ah, we will distribute now?
It was collected in
the... Yeah. You're always giving us Radhakund. This is very kind. Why don't you distribute?
No. I like it. Yeah.
You can. One time though, when devotees were first in Vrindavan, there was this one Bhakta Richard. I think last time I heard of him, he was in San Francisco, Berkeley, and he was living at Radhakund. He asked Prabhupada if he could live at Radhakund, and Prabhupada said there were already enough monkeys at Radhakund. So it's not something to do prematurely, try to live there, because one will have trouble if one is not sufficiently advanced. It is a place for bhajan and engaging in one's spiritual activities, full spiritual activities, with in one's spiritual body is a place for pure Raghunuga bhakti actually. It's not a place for politics or illicit activities or this or that. Anything other than pure bhajan. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a house there, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur stayed there for some time, and Srila Prabhupada met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta there in Radhakund. And it was there in Radhakund that Prabhupada was given the order to print books, book distribution. He said, since we have created this marble palace at Bagh Bazaar, there's been nothing but trouble. Now they are fighting over the rooms. If I could, I would take the marble and print books. If you ever get money, print books. Based on that, Prabhupada was so much engaged in book distribution. Any other points or questions?
It's like one is supposed to be in Vrindavan, kind
impermanence, the meditation, are we also to think about Radhakrishna?
Yeah, of course. As one thinks about Vrindavan, one can think about Radhakrishna. How wonderful it is, how sweet the atmosphere is, how holy it is, how nice it is to be there. Why not? It's part of Vrindavan.
Well, to speak of Vrindavan, I speak of Vraja.
Vraja Manda. So tomorrow, is there anyone who won't be here tomorrow? Is anyone leaving? And how about Friday? Govanan, you won't be here Friday night? Anyone else will not be here? So we'll finish Friday night. Tomorrow we'll finish either 2/3 of 10 or all of 10. And we'll leave the next day for more. One time, when this book was going to press, one of the head BBT men, when he read the manuscript, where it says that Radhakrishna is the supreme place, because he was really into just book distribution and sankirtan, so he questioned Prabhupada whether this is actually true and should we print such things like that. Because then the devotees are going to want to go to Radhakrishna, no one will want to go out on sankirtan, or something like that. So he didn't think it was actually correct. And Prabhupada said, Rupa Goswami has said this. And it's clear from Prabhupada's purport. So looking at how wonderful and how glorious Vrindavan is, and how glorious the forest of Vrindavan is, and how glorious Govanan Hill is, and how glorious Radhakund is, then how dear to Krishna is a devotee who leaves these out of deep compassion, you know, to reclaim the fallen, suffering souls. So it doesn't, the fact that Radhakund is the most exalted place in the universe doesn't mean we shouldn't preach. But it just exalts the devotee who does that. But still we shouldn't think that someone who's exalted devotee, who's fully engaged in bhajan, is somehow foolish or making a mistake. If he's actually an exalted devotee, one shouldn't think like that. There was once in one Bhagavatam class, one devotee was preaching how the highest was book distribution. And of course, we know that was so much Prabhupada's desire. But then one of the Vrindavan tricky question askers asked him, who is better situated, an Uttama Arakari, who is not preaching, who is engaged in pure bhajan, meaning someone who is living in his relationship with Radha Krishna, or a Kanista Arakari, who is engaged in the preaching activities? So that devotee answered that, you know the answer to that. Of course, it's the Kanista Arakari that's better. But it's not true. First of all, Kanista Arakaris won't preach. Preaching is the business of the Madhyama Arakaris. But obviously, someone who's fully engaged in this loving relationship with Krishna is so exalted, so we certainly, the last thing we want to do is criticize them and tell them what they should be doing. How could we not appreciate the preacher? Because if it wasn't for the preacher, where would we be? So how could we not appreciate the preacher and give him our hearts and dedication? But yet we should not deprecate someone who is in love with Krishna, who is very dangerous. Okay, Hare Krishna.